Welcome to the Beauty Files. I'm Juanita. I am so glad you can join us today. Happy Friday. We have a wonderful show today, and the first guest that we have is our communications expert, Stephen Gaffney. You know, and I was going to come out and say something, and I'm going to still say it because I just found that I can say this word, but you ever been around people that complain all the time? I mean, it could be a great sunny day. They could win the lottery. And they'll complain about the fact that, oh, my God, now I got to pay taxes. Oh, my God, people are going to come, and they're going to try to get all my money. Oh, my God. And you just kind of basically kind of tune them out, or are you that person that kind of fuels it and just go, well, what are you going to do? Well, how are you going to take care of it? Well, who are you going to contact? Well, everybody know that you're going to be winning the lottery. Well, I like some of that cash myself. Well, because I have a bad leg. Do you get that? Well, we're gonna talk to Stephen about how you can deal with people who are constantly complaining. And the word that I like to use is bitch. Bitch, bitch, bitch. I mean, every time you turn around, someone is talking about there's nothing ever good. Today was a beautiful day today in Washington, D.C. area. But I heard someone today complain about the fact that it's not like this all the time. So what? It's like that today. Get over it. I've gotten you to a point where I have decided that when I hear someone complain, and I know Stephen's going to say this is wrong, but when I hear someone complain, they start complaining about their health, their finances, or whatever, because everybody's going through something. I do what my sister calls the walk away. I just walk away in the middle of a conversation, and I say, I'll be right back. I have to get something. And I just literally just walk away from the scene because I can't absorb it anymore because I lose it if I do. So we're going to talk to Stephen about how you can deal with people who complain all the time. And coming up later, you want to go on that next trip and you want to know what to ask for and you know, some of the things that you should be looking for, what's the best time to go. What about hurricane season? Hey, is that hotel, were they on the list of bed bugs? And what did this person think about this beach? We have Erin Millard. She's going to give us some information from TripAdvisor. She is our TripAdvisor person, and she's going to talk to us about how you should be planning your next trip and questions that you should be asking about your next fab vacation. And later today, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest today. She is Allison Vaughn. This is a live show, so I'm reaching for my stuff. Paper, paper, paper. Yes, Africa. Allison Vaughn, she is the CEO of Jackets of Jobs. And I'm sorry, Jackets for Jobs. And she was listed with Warren Buffett's and Goldman Sachs 10,000 Businesses program. She has a wonderful, wonderful program, and it's all about helping others get to another level. And Allison is doing that. She's doing fabulous, and we're going to have her later in the show, and she's going to talk to us about Jackets for Jobs. Without further ado, Stephen Gaffney with JustBeHonest.com. Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks for having me back.
Why don't we start complaining? Why were you on it last week? What happened to you today? Why aren't you there? No, look.
I like the walk away. Wow, that's a cool strategy.
The walk away, Stephen, I'm telling you, it's gold. It's gold, baby. It's gold. I just say, you see the back of my head, and I can't take it. But let me ask you this, Stephen. You deal with this all the time. Is there a difference between, let's say, complaining and venting?
Sure. And here's the key. Venting is a one- or two-time occurrence. Complaining is when somebody says the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And you're like, oh, my gosh. They complain about their husband or their wife or their kids or their job or their boss. It just is the same thing over and over again. Or traffic, right? We live in D.C. Traffic. Right. Oh, yeah, like suddenly there's going to be no traffic? I mean, traffic is a part of D.C. The point is that people just complain, and what the problem is that if we allow that to occur around us, it's going to infect us. And then what happens is we start to become negative. You've been in a good mood, and you see somebody who's just in a negative mood. You try to stay clear on them, and they just end up infecting you. And then suddenly you start being negative. It's like you got to go take a shower or something like that.
888-627-6008 is the number. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Or you can send me an email at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com. You know, that is so interesting that you say that, Stephen, because you ever been around someone who had an illness and they're complaining about it, and you find yourself, they say, I have hives or the heaves or whatever. You go, start scratching.
Yes.
So what do you do, Stephen? What can one do, Stephen, besides the walk away, where we need to, you know, deal with people? And I'm sure you do every single day, and every one of us deal with that person that's at that job, that bus stop, that restaurant, wherever. What's some of the steps that we can do?
Well, so first of all, here's the neat thing. About 10 years ago, I developed this formula, and I'm going to teach it. We're going to go through it today.
Uh-oh.
And 100% of the time, this will work. Not 99, but 100%. It's foolproof, and I had to the reason why I studied complaining is because it's a big issue in the workplace, because the problem is that what happens is meetings are ineffective, work situations are ineffective, and sometimes people are just negative with a customer. And so the issue is we've got to get this handled. So this for sure will work, and the very first step is to acknowledge the person's emotions. So here's the interesting thing. What drives us as human beings is a lot of things, but one of the primary things that drives us is our emotions. So what people tend to do is they try to deal with people on the issue. Like, let's say somebody's complaining about their boss. What you might want to do is try to rationalize with the person, say, oh, it's not that bad, or you do the worst thing of all. So let me just take care of this right now. The absolute worst thing to do when somebody complains is offer them a solution. Don't do it. Stay clear. Even if they ask you, well, what do you think? How would you solve this, Juanita? Don't fall for it. Do not fall for it, because they don't really want to hear it.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is so awesome, because that would be the first, that would be the first thing. I'm pulled into that quicksand. It's like, help me, help me, help me.
Yeah, they try to fool you. They're like, Juanita, you're really great at what you do. Can you help me? And you're like, oh, okay, I'll help them. And then 2 hours later, you're like banging your head against the wall. And you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I just wasted 2 hours of my precious life on this planet trying to deal with a situation. Don't offer solutions.
Okay.
Just don't.
Okay.
So the very first step is to acknowledge a person's emotions. So here's the deal. When somebody's upset, talking a little bit more serious for a moment, when somebody's upset, they actually can't hear you. So it's hard to see with an adult, but have you ever experienced with a child when they're really upset and you try to offer, you know, help them or whatever, when they're all spun up, they just can't hear you? Well, what's the difference between a child and an adult? And the answer is, not much. In fact, you know, adult is bigger. But you know what's interesting? Children are a lot easier to deal with. You know why? Because children are upfront about their emotions. They'll tell you when they're mad or upset. You ever experience an adult who says, are you mad? You say, are you mad at me? And they go, no, I'm not mad. And you can tell they're lying. Just be truthful. You know, or are you feeling bad? No, I'm not. Everything's okay. But they complain, complain, complain. So the reality is that when somebody's upset, they're really not at home at first to hearing what we have to say. So the most important thing, interesting enough, is you just acknowledge their emotions. You just say, wow, it sounds like you're really upset and stressed. And they're most likely going to say, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And it allows them to vent and get rid of their emotion, which actually will calm them down. And then we can move into step two, which I can go into. But first is step one, kind of, does that make sense? Acknowledge their emotions.
No, that makes perfect sense, because I guess you kind of putting the fire out a little bit by just basically saying, oh, wow, yeah, I can tell, I like that. I love that that solution, is that you acknowledge their emotions, whatever, because I think that's what people want to hear. They don't want to say, are you mad? And they go, yeah, why? And then they go, I don't want to talk about it. Okay. I mean, if you, and then, they, well, let me tell you why. And then they go and tell you what's going on. And then you get that whole other thing that you got to deal with. So I love that first one.
Yeah, and see, here's the key. Acknowledging doesn't mean agreeing with their emotion, right? So let's say, you know, somebody out there is a difficult boss, but you're trying to look at the better things. Or let's say an employee is reporting to you, or somebody at home who's just really difficult to deal with, and somebody else is complaining to you about it, and you may agree with them. Or let's say you don't agree with them. Let's say you actually disagree. Acknowledging their emotion is neither. It's basically you just say, wow, I get you're upset. You're not saying you agree or disagree. Here's the reason why. If you start to disagree with their emotion, it's one of the worst things you can ever do with a human being because it makes them more upset, and that's invalidating their emotion. Let me explain what I mean by that.
Oh.
Have you ever been stressed and somebody goes, well, Juanita, don't get so stressed?
Right.
Or when you're feeling down and somebody goes, well, just cheer up.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird advice? You know, next
that
time somebody says
advice.
You know, next time somebody says to you, just cheer up. Just go, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I never thought of that. I'm down and I should just cheer up. Oh my gosh. Because reality is, of course we know to do that if we could.
Right.
But the reality is that we get in this emotional state. So the best thing we could do is just acknowledge the emotion in the other person. Listen, I get you're upset. I get how stressed you are. Then
right.
Step two is to facilitate a solution. Definitely do not say a solution, but facilitate it. And here's the easiest way to do that. You just say, well, what would you suggest? An example, somebody's complaining about their spouse. I can't believe my spouse did this, this, and this. And they do it over and over again. You just say, wow, I could tell how upset you are. So what would you suggest or what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah.
Whatever you do, you do not offer a solution. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. But by far, if you just say, what would you suggest? Do you know, studies show that people who are part of the solution are more likely to be bought into the solution. So if they come up with a solution, they're more likely to implement it.
So saying if someone complains and they say, oh, my husband's doing this, don't say, my God, for the love of my hearing, could you just leave him? You know, so I shouldn't say that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and there's sometimes you just got to use different techniques. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine was complaining about his girlfriend, and he always complains about his girlfriend. So we're having dinner. And I actually didn't do one of these three steps, I have to confess. I just changed the subject. I just changed it. I said, so what's happening next weekend? And he said, this is not one of my better moments, I have to admit.
Well, because you probably got tired of that, because mine would have been more wine. Yeah, more wine. Wine, sir, more wine. Yeah.
You
need more wine in your glass. You need a little bit more wine.
So you know what he said to me? He goes, Steve, you just changed the subject. You don't
right.
want to talk about this, do you? He said to me, you don't want to talk about this. I looked at him, I said, you're right, I don't want to talk about it.
and not tonight, right.
Oh, but it gets better. He said, you know, Steve, good friends would want to talk about this.
OMG.
And here's what I said. I said, good friends tell you the truth. You complain about your girlfriend all the time and nobody wants to hear it.
Oh, so you went there. You went there. I love it. I love it that you went there.
So then we got in a fist fight. No, we did not. I'm just kidding.
So I'm glad that you had to go there at some point. I mean, you weren't the calm. You're like, look, let me tell you why. Because no one likes to hear you complain. No one likes to hear about your girlfriend. By the way, I'm not drunk enough to hear it. So let's move on. Hey, what are you doing next week?
Yeah, sometimes you just want to say, tequila? Okay, let's do tequila. Maybe we should forget about this.
Then you'll have a big crying game. Oh, Lord. So I like to facilitate the solution. I love that.
Well, here's the neat thing, going back to the story, in fairness to my friend, once I said this, and then it actually produced a pretty good conversation, after he got over the initial shock of my response, he actually took that to heart, and actually, then we did change the subject, because I really did tell him, I don't really want to hear it, and I'm not going
right.
to spend dinner talking about it, but I explained why, and then he was great about that after, you know, we talked about it. The point is that, you know, which is the basis of all the work that I do, is so often in life, what we're not doing, and this is in fairness to the other person, and what we have to actually acknowledge is we just don't tell people the truth. We don't tell the person the truth. You know what? I'm really tired of the complaining, and you got to take care of this. Now, this three-step formula, which we'll finish off, is one way to approach it, but it's basically we need to be upfront. Look, I get you're upset, so what do you suggest? And if the person says to you, well, how come you're not offering me a solution? You can easily just say, listen, I can offer you solutions, but I've done that in the past and it hasn't worked. And as your friend, I care about you and I want the best for you. So the bottom line is, this doesn't seem like it's going to change, you know, what's happening. So what are you going to do about this? And sometimes good friends really say the tough messages, but it's really about being upfront and honest.
I like that. And I like the fact that, you know, you're giving an open opportunity. It's like, okay, you know, I will try, but I love the fact that being, just be honest. I love the whole website. I love your whole premise. Just be honest. And I guess saying it in a way where, you know, because I have a tendency when I drink, oh, God, people are going to think I'm an alcoholic. I tend to say more, I'm tend to be more honest or open. And I think when I turn 50, I am really honest and I'm really brutal. It's like when I hear someone complain about their job and I'm like, oh, my God, did you pay your rent last month? Yeah, because it was your job. Now, if you don't want to do that anymore and you want to be on crack row, why don't you just leave? Just wait. Just go. Why do you stay here and get money to work and pay your bills? Why do you do that?
Well, and see, one of the challenges that by going down that path, which we've all done, right? We offer solutions. Is, but, I mean, Juanita, you know as well as I, the problem is when we go down that path, some people, not everybody, but some people love the drama. So now they're in the debate. It's like you're talking about my issues. Well, I need to stick with that person or I need the job or whatever, but they love the drama. See, this strategy gets you out of it. You just say, so what would you suggest? And if they go, well, I don't have an idea, you just go, okay. Well, you know, if you want to talk about some ideas, I'm always open to hearing from you. And then the third step is if they do offer a solution or there's a pathway forward, and let's say they say, well, I'd like you to help out, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm willing to under certain situations. So the third step is come up with an agreeable plan. But whatever you do, make sure it's mutually agreeable. And there's three things to do when somebody offers you a solution. Is you either say, yes, I'm willing to do that. Now, we're talking about ourselves, responding back to them. No, I'm not. And then you just be upfront. Look, I'm not. Like, for example, somebody says, you know, I want you to go talk to the boss because this is, you know, this is a big issue. You could say, no, I'm not willing to do this. But what I am willing to do is look at other ideas or solutions or whatever the case may be. Third, so yes, no, or the third option is sometimes you do say to the person, let's say they do want you to do something, is you could say, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. And then if you do that, I give them a time frame. Let me think about it and get back to you tomorrow, whatever the case may be. But it is a viable solution because sometimes what happens in life is somebody is complaining, and what they're complaining is they're really trying to ask for something. Like let's say somebody complains about not having enough money and you're the boss.
Right.
What they may be saying is, I want a raise. But they don't have the guts to say that, or it's too fearful to say it, so they just complain.
Yeah.
So some people, interesting enough, complain because they really want something.
Right, yeah. That is so true that you say that because, you know, my girlfriends and I, we were always complaining about, you know, not having a boyfriend. And it's like, well, we don't need them. We don't need them. Because they're just no good anyway. It's like, no, you know. This is what we're complaining about. We're complaining the fact that we don't have a boyfriend. And yes, we need him, but we'll say that we don't just to satisfy. And that's the satisfaction. The satisfaction is the complaint. The complaining is the satisfaction, but the redemption is like, oh, well, we don't really need him. More tequila. I mean, that's the redemption. So it's like, but you're absolutely right. I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, when you acknowledge, you just be honest with the person. But before I let you go, Stephen, when you say be honest, can I say to this person after, you know, I've done this, can I say, look, ooh, I really don't want to hear it today?
Well, you can, but you know what sometimes, so you can definitely do that, right? Sometimes it's just, look, it's not a good time and things, but sometimes another strategy which kind of deals with much more of a deeper thing, and it got me thinking as you're describing about with you and your girlfriends as you're discussing things about whether men or whoever, is sometimes when somebody's upset and they're complaining, you just say, look at, say, what's going on? Just tell me what's going on. You just seem really sad. And you know why I bring this up? I think it's a great lesson that we all need to take on in spirit of Robin Williams, and that's this. We just can't tell what's going on in somebody else's minder. I mean, my gosh, he makes the world happy, and he was so sad inside. So let this, if I want to kind of leave on this note, is do what it can. Sometimes we do want to say, so I get you're upset, or maybe the person's quiet, and say, how you doing? What's going on? And just a reminder, there's a lot of stuff on my website, free videos and some TV interviews on this subject about giving more strategies. But I want to leave people with, sometimes we just need to say, are you okay? Are you okay? What's going on?
That is so true, Stephen. I, you know, you know, not to turn it to a sad case, but you're absolutely right, because this man was making everyone happy and everyone laugh, and he was just, every time you would see him, you just couldn't stop laughing. And, you know, did anyone, I mean, I'm sure someone said, are you okay, whatever, but at the final moments, I guess, you know, it would have been nice if someone would have gotten that to him, or just say, hey, are you okay? What's going on? You know, do you need to talk about something? Or, and I guess that's with anyone. If you find someone that's being really sad or just not responsive, or, you know, this person is normally a happy person or whatever, and you don't hear from them, you know, just reach out and call them and just say, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? You know, how are you doing? I love that idea, and I love the fact that you ended it with that.
Yeah, in fact, do we have one more minute, or are we?
Sure, yeah.
So I want to make an offer to everybody, and it doesn't cost them any money, and that is, send me an email and reference the show, and I will send you the first book I wrote, Just Be Honest. It's called Just Be Honest. I'll send you the electronic version, so the actual, you know, the version that'll go on your iPad or whatever you want, for free. So they don't pay for it. And here's the reason why. Because that first book covers a distinction between what we notice and what we imagine. But simply said, there's a difference between fact and opinion. And what happens is people see things and they make up things in their mind and they think that what they're making up is true. So let's use the Robin Williams example, and I'll bring this on home, is that we notice somebody makes us laugh or we notice something and we say, oh, they're doing well. But we forget that just because we see the facts of certain behaviors doesn't necessarily mean that we really know what's going on inside somebody's mind. So the book is all about showing that, and I prove in the book that 50 to 70% of our opinions on a daily basis is wrong. And what the value of this is that when we get that a lot of our assumptions in life are wrong, we need to go check in, we need to reach out, we need each other. So if they reference your show, and send me an email and reference your show, and all they have to do is go to justbehonest.com, and reference the show, I will send you the book Just Be Honest for free, and I hope everybody will take the lessons out of that book, and as well as what we're talking about here, and make a difference in someone's life.
Stephen Gaffney, justbehonest.com. I'm going to put that on our website too, so people can get that information as well. And as you heard, he said just go to justbehonest.com and reference the show, and he will send you a free copy of an e-book, a version of his book. So I think that's a fabulous idea, and I'm so glad that you could join us today. And as always, you are such a joy. It's a shame you're married. Okay, I threw that out there. But I'm so happy. You always make me feel so good talking to you. It's amazing what you do, you know, with my self-esteem and the fact that how I deal with people, because I can be a little harsh, and I know that. So I am so glad that you were on our show today to talk about the complaining issue, and also to bring it on home about Robin Williams. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me, and you're awesome.
Coming up next, we have Erin Miller. She's going to give us some information on how you and what you should be doing to score that fab trip with TripAdvisor. Give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Welcome back. After the break, Stephen Gaffney with JustBeHonest.com. I think you should take him up on that. Send him an email and reference the show, and he is going to send you an ebook relating to all the wonderful things about communications and communicating and communication. And I think it was an excellent offer, and I do thank you, Stephen, for doing that. Joining us live now is Erin Miller. She is with TripAdvisor. And if you have a question for Erin about, you know, your next trip or what you should do or how you should plan it, or just general questions, again, that's 888-627-6008 is the number. I got a couple of emails, Erin, before you even got on the show, because I had talked about, I was telling everybody who was going to be on the show. So I already have a few emails for you, but welcome to the show, Erin. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, Juanita.
Now, TripAdvisor is one of the world's largest travel site, and it helps travelers plan and, you know, to have a perfect trip. TripAdvisor. They offer advice from trusted advice from real travelers. So that makes it even more, I think, better because you're getting information from people who have actually done the travel and they're communicating back with you. Am I correct?
That's correct. We have more than 170 million reviews and opinions on the site written by real travelers across, you know, hundreds of thousands of destinations around the world. So you can really plan and have your perfect trip when using TripAdvisor.
So let me, you know, and one of the questions, and I have some of the stuff that I wanted to ask you from, you know, some talking points, but someone had asked the same question, when is the best time to travel during the year? Is it in the summer? And then if so, someone asked about summer saving ideas. So I'll ask you that.
Sure. So the best time of the year to travel really depends on where you're going. We generally refer to it as the shoulder season for any destination. So what this means is you want to travel either at the very beginning or the very end of the peak travel period for the destination that you're going to. And that's usually determined based on the weather. So whenever the weather is nicest, you want to travel kind of at the very beginning of that period or the very end. And that way you'll really be able to take advantage of the great weather, but it's before all of the crowds start pouring in and you'll find lower prices. So the great thing about kind of the end of autumn or the end of summer and the early autumn is that it's considered the shoulder season for much of the U.S. and the surrounding areas. So you're still getting the sunlight. You're still getting, you know, the nice warm weather. It's a little bit cooler. It's not quite as hot. And the crowds are really beginning to disperse. So there's less demand and the prices start to drop.
Yeah, because I know that a lot of people, I mean, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, that we are now in hurricane season. So do we, you know, is there good deals or should people even try to travel to destinations that are hurricane prone?
Actually, the hurricane season is a great time to travel because, you know, people tend to be a little bit afraid of it, but it's actually not as scary as you might expect. So it generally runs along the ocean from August kind of through the end of November, but really, you know, in places like Hawaii, you're really only getting hit hard, really, you know, starting in November. So if you go during September and October, that's when hotels, you know, are really desperate for travelers and they'll be slashing their prices. And you might have to deal, you know, with some afternoon storms, but, you know, generally most of the day is sunny and beautiful and the chances of getting hit by a huge storm are relatively slim. Similarly, in the Caribbean, the strongest time for hurricanes is in September. So if you book in late October or mid-November, you're likely to have great weather and still be able to score a deal.
Yeah, I actually went to Jamaica on October. I mean, the crowds were a little it wasn't as crowded. Actually, it wasn't crowded at all. And I got a really good deal. And you know, the weather was beautiful. I you know, I didn't fear the hurricane. I mean, I didn't get any bad weather. The crowd was light. You know, I even got upgraded because there wasn't a lot of people there. So I got upgraded to a suite, and I paid for a lower room. But they were like, hey, you know, you want to upgrade? You know, yeah, of course I want to upgrade. I mean, I want to upgrade. I want to be in first class. Yes, I will. Thank you very much. But that's great advice. What about if, say for instance, you want to go to places like Martha's Vineyard or even like Texas or whatever. I mean, do you find that people are still concerned about the weather conditions, or is it just, you know, just depends on the time of the year?
Well, of course, the weather is always a concern, but the great thing about the end of summer for these types of destinations, you know, places where people really flock to during the summer, is that after Labor Day, the prices really start to drop significantly. Oh. And places like Martha's Vineyard or the Hamptons or Cape Cod are really popular for vacation rentals. And if you're traveling with a group or with your family, vacation rentals can be a great way to save money because you're able to, you know, you have a kitchen, you can cook in the kitchen, you can do your laundry there. You have a lot of the comforts of home, and a lot of times the prices are a lot less than they would be for a hotel.
So now, also, you know, I'm looking on your website, but also TripAdvisor is like a one-stop shop for finding and booking the perfect hotel for your trip as well.
That's correct. So TripAdvisor, you know, we're definitely known for our hotel reviews. And basically, you can find out everything that you need to know about a hotel. So when you're looking to travel, if you know your destination, you can plug in your destination, you can plug in your travel dates, and you can basically get a full list of all of the hotels in that destination. You can filter them on, you know, many different ways by, you know, the ranking on TripAdvisor, but also, you know, look for the ones that are the cheapest. And then, you know, when you get a set of hotels that you're interested in, you can click on them and you can read the reviews from the real travelers. You can see the candid traveler photos. So you're actually able to see, you know, what the hotel really looks like versus, you know, maybe what the hotel puts in their marketing materials.
Which
and
I
that,
love.
You know, makes they're amazing. You know, you really get to know what the experience is going to actually be. And you can also filter based on, you know, the type of traveler you are. Say you're a family traveler and you're traveling with your family or you're going on a couples trip. You can see, you know, based on that, what people that were on a couples trip rated it or people that were with their family or solo or business travelers. So there's so many different ways that you can look at it that you can really find the hotel that's perfect for you. And then when
wow.
you do decide on the hotel, you can use TripAdvisor's hotel price comparison to find the best price for it.
Okay.
So TripAdvisor has hundreds of booking partners, and you put in your travel dates, you click, you know, show me the prices, and they'll show you all the prices from all of the different places that you can book. So you're able to get the best price for the best hotel for you.
You know, I love everything about TripAdvisor. And I another thing that I like, and someone just asked me, sent a question in, and I'll try not to forget it. They're basically asking, is there a prerequisite or do you have to go through a screening process to be a TripAdvisor, you know, when you want to share your experience of a hotel or whatever? Is there some things that you will not take or this person, I guess, basically wants to send in some pictures or whatever of a trip that they did? How do you screen those different people that are taking these trips?
So anybody can sign up for TripAdvisor. You know, it's free to sign up. It's a very simple process. You can even connect through your Facebook account. So you don't even have to create a unique, you know, password. You can just do it all through logging in through Facebook if that's what you want to do. And we welcome reviews and opinions basically from anyone as long as you were there and you had the experience. We think that you should be able to write about it and share your experience. So, again, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not the booking was actually in your name or you actually paid for going to the restaurant. As long as
right.
you were there and you had the experience, we welcome those opinions. And those are really what, you know, inform the community that's using TripAdvisor about the best places to go, the best restaurants to eat at, the best hotels to stay. And so, yeah, we welcome everybody to join and become an active member of the site.
I am looking now because I get a email from TripAdvisor and, you know, I'm always thrilled to get it because this one right here particularly says 10 breathtaking hotels on private islands. And you never know how to approach it or look for stuff like that because you don't know what to put in, you know, private island, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you actually have a list of the 10 best hotels on private islands, and they've been rated by people who are members of TripAdvisor, which I love. And then you also have, you know, not just, you know, going to islands, but you have something, I'm pulling it up now, 14 natural swimming pools that make you want to dive in. I mean, how cool is that?
It's so cool. I mean, and that's the other great thing about TripAdvisor. You can find all of the logistics of planning your trip, but you can also use it, you know, just if you're a little bit of an armchair traveler and you're looking for some inspiration, you know, you want to see some beautiful photos of beaches, you can go on TripAdvisor and you can just really get inspired of all the places that you might not know where to go. We have a lot of great awards programs. So they're called our Traveler's Choice Awards, and they're based on the reviews and opinions of millions of travelers. And we tell you what the best hotels are every year, what the best beaches are, what the best islands are,
wow.
what the best restaurants are, the best museums, the best amusement parks, et cetera, et cetera. And they're based on the, you know, 170 million reviews and opinions on TripAdvisor, so you know that these places are going to be amazing places to go.
I mean, there's one here that says 10 unbelievable hotel rooftops. And I look through them, and you're right. They're unbelievable, but there are places that you would never think to, you know, oh, let me, you know, where can I go? I mean, they have rooftops in your area where you can just go. But someone from TripAdvisor sent pictures or put in a review, and they're so detailed, which I love. I love the fact that they're so detailed. Like one lady wrote, completely cut off from the outside world, and she was talking about a private island that, you know, because some people may not want that. Some people may say, oh, my God, completely cut off. With this guy, no, I can't. I have to have something to do. I can't be completely cut off. I need to have TV or something. But you'll list that. Your TripAdvisor will list that as well, saying, okay, there's no Wi-Fi, but you have some place where you could just read all day. And there are people who just want to do that. And then there are others that, well, I need to have some type of communication outside the world or else I'm going to lose it. So you have someone who does that as well. It's so detailed, people. I can't say enough about how detailed this TripAdvisor is. And the other thing, or another thing I want to ask before I let you go, savings on flights. Someone sent a question about that. What's the best time to travel if you have an advice, or does TripAdvisor advise that as well?
We do, and unfortunately, there really isn't a hard and fast rule for finding the absolute cheapest flight. You know, sometimes I'll hear the best, you know, how many days out to book, and those things, you know, really you have to take them with a grain of salt because they change all the time. But what you can do, there's a lot of strategies you can use for finding cheaper flights. One is to go on TripAdvisor and cost compare flights. So you enter your travel dates, you enter your destinations, you know, where you're originating from, and you're able to see, you know, all of the different prices for all of, you know, across different airlines and different booking sites, and you're able to find the best prices. And what's amazing is that you can also see not just the prices for the dates that you want to travel, but if you're going to be a little bit more flexible with your travel dates, you can see, is it cheaper to fly on the Wednesday and come back on Thursday, or is it cheaper to fly on Tuesday and come back on Sunday? So it'll show you kind of the variation across dates, and you can find the cheapest price in that range. And another thing that you can do is you can sign up for the TripAdvisor flight alerts. So it's an email that you'll get, and you can enter your destination, and it'll alert you anytime that the price drops. And so then you can jump on it right away, and you can book that flight right away.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea. And I love the fact that you can put in your dates or whatever, and this, like, all these different cost comparisons. It tells you, well, this flight offers this company offers that, this airline offers this. So I love the flight comparison. I love seeing that as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always just about the cheapest flight, because, you know, a lot of times there's other factors that come into, you know, consideration. So we also have a filter called our best value filter, which takes into account both the price as well as, you know, the time that you're flying and the convenience. So, you know, it'll look for things like less connections and shorter layovers, and it'll get you, you know, a better flight experience. And then you can also, you know, really find detailed information on any flight that you're looking at, like whether or not it has Wi-Fi, how much leg room it has, and what the baggage fees might be, because that's something that you want to consider. You know, you might find a cheaper price for a fare on one airline and a slightly more expensive price on another airline, but if you're going to be carrying a bunch of bags, you want to know what the baggage fees are so that you can factor that into the total cost and find the actually true cheapest flight for you.
And I guess the last thing I'm going to ask you about is, you know, is there any way that, you know, TripAdvisor or we can save money while we're, you know, at our particular destination, like, for example, like attractions or food or, you know, any type of, you know, outside activities or, you know, national parks or whatever?
Absolutely. So, you know, hotel and flying are obviously going to be probably the biggest parts of your trip, the biggest, you know, expenses that you have. But you also want to consider, you know, how much money you're going to be spending while you're there. So if you're looking to save while you're in the destination, pretty much any major city that you go to will have hundreds of options for finding, you know, free attractions. A lot of times these places are, to your point, museums. Many museums have, you know, amazing collections for free, Or if you do find a museum that charges, a lot of museums will have free nights where they'll have a special night each month where you can get free admission, or you can go to the local library and they might have free passes for the museum. So you just have to be a little bit creative and, you know, do a little bit of research, but you can find amazing free attractions to go to in the city. And then also, outdoor activities are a great way to save money. So no, pretty much no matter what, if you're going to be in the city, you're going to be spending more money to pay for attractions. But when you're outside, you know, you get the fun of just being outside. So national parks or beaches, and they're great around this time of year. In the early autumn, you know, it's still sunny, you still have the sunshine, there's less crowds. Head to the national parks. They're gorgeous. All of the beaches are gorgeous.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't even know about that, that, you know, going to a national park for a vacation or a trip. One other question I want to ask, and someone just sent me this question. Does TripAdvisor offer national park? I think they were asking about RV and national parks. I'm not understanding what the question is. I'm guessing it's something about, does TripAdvisor, can they tell you about, you know, where you can take your RV to a national park?
Well, one of the great things that TripAdvisor offers are the TripAdvisor forums. So if you're looking for really specific information about, you know, any destination or any attraction that you might be going to or help with planning your trip, you can go to the TripAdvisor forum for that destination and just pose any question that you might have. And almost any time within the United States for any destination you'll be going to, you'll get an answer within 24 hours from our really passionate travel community. You know, people love to, that's the whole point of TripAdvisor, is it's the travel community, and people are offering their feedback. And so people, you know, we have destination experts that they go and they answer these questions, and you can find really detailed information and get really specific answers for free within 24 hours.
Wow. And you have an app too, right? You have a TripAdvisor has an app.
We do, and you know, the app, we try to make it as seamless as possible for users while they're in their destination to, you know, plan their trips and find the things that are great near them in their destination. So it offers, you know, basically all of the things that the desktop site offers. You can find great attractions, you can find great restaurants, you can find your hotel. We recently started making it a lot more easy to book your hotel within the app on TripAdvisor. So you can, you know, find your hotel on the app and book it all on your app. So, you know, people nowadays are using their mobile phones more and more and more to do all of these things. So we thought, why not make it easier for the traveler?
Absolutely. Erin Millard with TripAdvisor, thank you so much for being my guest and giving us such great advice and great solutions and all the other good stuff, because I'm typing in all of my stuff now and trying to plan me a trip to go someplace soon. As you heard Erin say, TripAdvisor does have an app. It's available for both. I have it on Android. I'm assuming it's available for both Android and Apple.
Correct.
Yeah, because I have it for the Android, and it's a wonderful app. You just touch it, you get all these alerts. You get, you know, if you put something in once before, they'll send you alerts saying, "Hey, we got this on sale," or "This place, you know, has this on sale," and they'll tell you where to go. And so, yeah, I encourage you to go to TripAdvisor.com, pick up the app, plug in your trip in, and make it happen. Stop complaining about not going and go. Erin, thank you so much for being our guest from TripAdvisor. And coming up next, we have Allison Vaughn. She's going to talk to us about jackets for jobs. Give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Don is my engineer, and he is so bubbly. Oh, my gosh. I don't think he ever has a bad day. You can't hear him now, but I don't think that he could ever have a bad day. He's always pleasant to work with. Welcome back.
That's a good thing. You can feel the energy through the phone.
Can't you feel the energy? Allison Vaughn is joining us from Jackets for Jobs, and I can feel your energy, too. Welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to talking with you. This is exciting.
You know, what's that expression? You got it going on. I mean, you are such an amazing person. I'm reading your press release. I'm reading, you know, all the other information. You have a book. Oh, where do we start? We're going to start with Jackets for Jobs. I think this is such a wonderful program.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I started Jackets for Jobs 14 years ago. With the mission just to empower women, you know, just to get back into the workforce, make them feel good about themselves, and then branched out to working with men. And since 14 years ago, we have assisted over 15,000 individuals with employment. So it's been a labor of love, and I love what I do.
Oh, wow. How did you get started? How did you, like, come up with the idea of doing this?
Well, you know what? It was kind of a catch-22. I know that, you know, in order to get a job, you need to look professional and you need a suit on. But in order to have a suit, you need a job. And so it was just kind of like that catch-22. And I just started helping people, like giving them advice and tips on looking good when they go for interviews. And when I lived in an apartment way back when, one of the girls in the apartment was unemployed. She said, "Can I borrow your shoes? Can I borrow a blouse?" And so it just kind of started, you know, just helping people out. And, you know, look, 14 years later, still going strong.
You know, that is so important that you say that, because one of the things that we find when people are trying to get back into the workforce, whether they have, you know, experienced unemployment or whatever, homelessness or whatever, you know, you want to make a good impression and you want to come to the table with a good impression. And for someone to be able to get a nice suit, that, number one, that would make me feel good, and that would make me feel more empowered to be able to clinch this, you know, I'm going to get this job because I feel good and I look good.
Right, exactly, because we know that first impressions are lasting, and, you know, you don't get a second opportunity to make a first impression. And so with us, the clothes are very nice. We have a great partnership with TJ Maxx. We partnered with them back in 2007, and they gave us like $1 million investment, redid one of our offices, which looks like a miniature TJ Maxx. The things are brand new. Yes. And so when people come into Jackets for Jobs, they're like, wow, this is actually like a department store. These are brand new items. And so that makes them feel good because they're not feeling like they're just getting something dirty or dingy. And then the things that we do have that are not brand new, those are companies like, you know, the GMs, the Fords, the Chryslers, you know, the companies that are big here in the city of Detroit. They do company clothing drives, DTE, and those women, the women's department, the women's organizations, I should say, and those companies, they do clothing drives, and they donate some really nice things. And these are ladies that are already in the workforce, so they know what it takes to look professional. So when they're donating these items, these are things that they would wear or have worn to show an example of our ladies that come to our program. So we have really nice things, not only for women, but for men, because we have a great partnership also with the Men's Warehouse, and they do a big clothing drive and a national campaign to help men get back on track as well. So, yeah, we have got some good partnerships and good relationships to help people that are unemployed get back on their feet and look great and feel good about themselves.
And you're not only offering, you know, the proper attire, but you're also doing employment interview etiquette, and which I applaud, because, you know, for some reason, a lot of people think that they know what to say or how to act or what to do in an interview, and they really don't.
And you're absolutely right. And we have a little placard in the office that we're more than clothes, because like you mentioned, we do the employment training. We teach them how to make sure that their resume looks good, there's no typos, how to present yourself, you know, arriving early, giving the firm handshake, the proper eye contact, holding, you know, standing straight, having a great posture. Right. And, you know, those are some of the things that we talk about in addition to providing the clothing. So it's more than just putting some clothes on a person and say, okay, go out there and, you know, good luck. But we teach them those skills. You know, arrive at least 15 minutes early. Because people don't, okay, my interview's at 2 o'clock, and they show up at 2 o'clock or 2:05 and think nothing of it. No, you need to arrive early, you know, and so, yeah, we do a lot of different training.
That is so important that you say that because, you know, what I do is I go to different places and I do makeup. I'm a makeup artist by trade and for television. And, you know, one place I used to work at, and I used to see people come in for interviews, and I would look at them and say, did someone tell you that that was appropriate to wear for an interview? I mean, you don't wear, you don't wear shoes that look like you're about to go dancing. And I'm not talking about dancing in a club. I'm talking about dancing for money. Dancing for money. Yeah, you know, I don't get that. And I'm so glad that you're doing that and you're teaching people to come in 15 minutes. And I will be honest with you too, Allison, the looking in the eyes, that is so important. I never knew that, how important that was in an interview process.
That's true. I want to touch on the shoes, for example, because we have to tell some of the young ladies, there's a difference between day wear and date wear. Some of the young ladies think, well, you know, I went out to the club last night and so many people gave me compliments and told me I looked really sharp and these shoes were really cute. And so they get these compliments at a club, and so they think that that's appropriate to wear for a job interview. And we have to say, no, you wore that on a date. Now this is daytime for a job interview. Two different scenarios. You cannot mix the two.
I'm so glad you said that. And you're right, because at a club, you got the flashing light, you got the bar, whatever. You're coming in sunlight, daylight, and everybody's looking at you with those glass slippers. I don't think so.
Right.
I love that. But you know, the sad part about it is that a lot of people don't realize that there is a difference between, as you say, date wear and day wear.
Right. And so we talk about that a lot. And we have to tell the ladies to step out of their comfort zone. You know, you're going for a job interview. It's a different scenario. You know, you're putting on a suit. You're wearing a nice dress. You know, they're so used to wearing the jeans or something baggy or, you know, five or six different earrings and so forth. And we have to, that's the thing that we stress. Step out of your comfort zone, and then you can proceed and you can get ahead.
Now, I've been reading about you, Miss Allison Vaughn. You were selected by Warren Buffett and Goldman Sachs for 10,000 Businesses program. That is fantastic.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. Thank you for mentioning that. Goldman Sachs, you know, an investment banking firm, they decided, and Warren Buffett sits on the advisory board. He's the president of the advisory board. Michael Bloomberg, as mayor of the city of New York, is also on the advisory board. They decided, well, we want to help small businesses excel. We want to see them exceed what they're doing now. We want to see that they hire more people, they do well in their business establishment. So we're going to invest $500 million in certain cities that we feel need a stimulus package, so to speak. And they selected the city of Detroit, and I am in class two. They have two classes, and we're going to graduate next month. And so it's actually like an accelerated MBA program, very fast-paced, and it's very, very exciting. So,
you have one of the best teachers out there, Warren Buffett. I am such an admirer of his.
Can't get much better than that. And so, just anything with Warren Buffett's name associated, you know that it's going to be successful. So, I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting him next month because I'm understanding he's probably going to be at the graduation. So, yes, anything associated with him when it comes to finances, you know, when he talks, people listen. And so I've learned so much as a business person, you know, as an entrepreneur, how to excel, how to do different things in business to take my business to the next level, which is so phenomenal because now I just had an invitation to speak in Dubai. And if anybody knows about Dubai, the country of luxury, on women's empowerment. Rise of Women Entrepreneurs, and so I'm going to be going to Dubai in the month of October and talk about entrepreneurship.
Oh my gosh, that is so phenomenal!
But you're right.
Anything that's associated with Warren Buffett, you're doing good, girl.
Yes, you know, I give every time I have an interview, I always give God credit, and so. I just say, you know, the Lord has ordered my steps, and that's why I think that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, because I listen to that little small voice in my head that guides me and I say my prayers, and I just go off of God, what He wants me to do. And this is like a ministry. Jackets for Jobs is like a ministry because I'm empowering and helping, you know, women out and people that need a little direction. And so, yes, I give credit to the Lord for blessing me with these different opportunities.
And that is so true that you say that because, you know, it is a ministry. I mean, you are actually helping women empower themselves through what you are giving them. I love the whole story. I love everything that you're doing with it. And I'm so honored that you were able to be on my show. And I would not be remiss if I didn't mention your book, Inspired Style.
Yes. As a result of teaching women and having classes at Jackets for Jobs and helping women get back on their feet, I became an image consultant. And so I am a co-author of a book called Inspired Style. And what we do, we just give tips on how to look your best and how to present yourself in a positive image and just strategies from other image experts. It's a wonderful book. I encourage people to go to my website, sexyandageless.com.
Oh, sexy and ageless.
Yes, sexyandageless.com, as well as jacketsforjobs.org, and they both will link to one another. And it's a book I encourage people to get it. It's Inspired Style. I talk about fashion rules you need to break and that one color that every woman needs to have in her wardrobe. And when you're in your 20s, this is what you should do. If you're in your 30s, this is what you should wear. If you're in your 40s, this is what looks great on you. So, yes, I am an author and proud to be an author of a great book.
Now, it's called sexyandageless.com?
Yes.
Okay, and that's the book that that she talks about, you know, the what you should be wearing, how you should be wearing, tips on her image consulting business or image consulting part of it. And jacketsforjobs.org is the program that is helping women everywhere get themselves out there and get better jobs and basically empowering them to want to succeed with, you know, employment etiquette, great choices for clothing, and just making themselves feel good and ready to be out there in the workforce. Allison Vaughn, CEO of Jackets for Jobs, thank you so much for being on my show. I really do appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you for having me, and I just want to tell all your listeners, you have such a great radio show. You are awesome.
Oh, you are so sweet. Thank you. And I'm going to get sexy and ageless myself because love to be sexy and ageless.
You're already beautiful. You're beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Oh, see, now I'm blushing, and you can't even see it. You can't, but you can hear it. You are so awesome. You are so awesome. Just listening to you, we really need more programs like this.
Well, thank you.
And thank you, listeners, and the calls that I didn't get, I'm going to send you over to her website so you can get to her website and get all the information what you need. Thank you so much for being a part of my show and my listening audience. I really do appreciate it. Stephen Gaffney with JustBeHonest.com, TripAdvisor Erin Miller, TripAdvisor.com, and, of course, the lovely Allison Vaughn with jacketsforjobs.org. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for listening. You take care. Bye-bye.